This is a true story. I bought 100 empty jars on eBay. I made this label. The label was absolutely crap. I mean, it was diabolical. I mean, it was Amatonite, you know. But the product was good. Captain Fawcett's moustache waxed on every movie set. People like Peter Swords King, who got the Oscar for Lord of the Rings, yeah. Hobbit, and he uses all my products. And,
Awesome. Well, that authenticity of the product just screams out at you. You know, the fact that it's 15 years old, almost, isn't what comes across. It comes across with all this kind of heritage. The response that you're getting from that must give
it
you some buzz, doesn't it?
Remarkably considered one of the best. Oh. Yeah, we're very proud of that. And that's the thing for me. Where I get my kick is I walk down a street and I see my products in a shop window, yeah. And it's that incredible feeling because it is a huge team effort to actually got there.
Yeah, of course. Moustache is a big part of your life.
Yeah, I mean, my history, I mean, I was a bit of a bum. You know, somebody did say to me recently, aren't you a little bit too old to be working quite so hard? And I said, well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't do anything until I was 30.
Welcome to The Noble Barber. This is a podcast for barbers by barbers, cutting through the crap of the industry. We all want to know how our businesses can run better. I want to talk to people who've done it, messed it up and got it right second time round, and can tell us the way that you and I can make our businesses better.
Hi, welcome to the latest edition of the Noble Barber podcast. I'm here today with Richie Finney. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming down.
No, I really appreciate being on. Thank you.
And interestingly, when I first started the whole idea of this podcast, I started wandering in and out of barbershops. And at the time I was doing that, your 27 country expedition was going on. So yours was very much mine was more like 2.5 boroughs, maybe. But it was the same idea. You know, I was very much just wandering in, chatting to barbers, which you were doing on an international level. I found that so rewarding, and it gave me a real idea of what I wanted to do with this. What did it do to you? How did you find that?
Well, I think it's really interesting. I mean, obviously, post-Brexit, I mean, we export. 80% of Captain Fawcett products are wow. exported. And I think it's really important to be in touch with your customer, you know, face-to-face, as indeed we're doing here. I think that's absolutely crucial. I mean, you can do all kinds of things by Zoom, but there's no soul to it. It's all about soul, isn't it? And I decided, given Brexit, I was going to visit as many of my distributors as I possibly could. But I thought if I did it on a motorcycle, I'm rather passionate about motorcycles, did it on a motorcycle, it gives a vehicle for the following and being able to social media and things. And I literally divided the trip into three,
right,
into 10 weeks in total, and visited, as you say, 27 countries, 12,500 miles.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the reconstructive surgery.
Did the bike make it? Was the bike quite happy throughout?
The bike was okay. Actually, the first trip was Spain, and then the second one was all up in Scandinavia and the Baltic states, and the last one was, you know, in southern Europe as far as Bulgaria and Romania.
Wow.
But the clutch did go in Spain, but beyond that, I mean, I have a few bikes. I have not quite as not as many as my wife thinks, as it
were. Right.
But anyway,
or knows about.
yeah, it's more like it. And I chose the BMW because I thought it'd be the most reliable.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got some bikes you can't guarantee to get to the end of the road.
So quite a modern BMW,
vintage. 12 years old.
Oh, cool.
I do have some vintage though. Nothing wrong with old things, I tell you.
No, not at all. Not at all. And a difference, do you feel? I mean, is there a common theme? A barber's is a barber's is a barber's as you go around countries? Or do you find that you can tell that you're somewhere else?
I think that there was all slight twists. And I mean, even you go into different barbershops within the UK, it's their space, isn't it? It's their working space, and it will showcase the things that they're passionate about, you know, whether it's be sport or, you know, anything.
Yeah.
So they're all really very different. But of course, they're variations on the theme because the idea of the barbershop is to effectively cut hair. But I mean, I went and I went to barbershops. Some of them knew I was coming and some of them didn't. I remember going into one shop in Luxembourg. It transpired the guy had three shops. He had a fantastic motorcycle on the wall. And I got talking to him. He said, well, I don't stock Captain Fawcett. I said, well, that's really not a problem because I've looked you out because I understand, you know, your space is going to be an interesting barbershop. And he said, yes. He said, I'll tell you something. Oh, we'll be stocking Captain Fawcett by the end of today. That's really cool.
Lovely.
So, you know, it's not just, you know, it's just going and meeting people, you know, and, yeah.
No, it does. I mean, I did. I took my youngest son to Rome. Mm. He wanted to have a weekend away with the old man before he went off to uni. I went to Rome and I found myself in three different barbershops. Mm. My Italian is terrible. Their English wasn't very good. But we still had that connection. And it's just, I feel very comfortable when I walk into any barbershop, regardless. They do have a great aura.
And there are some fantastic barbershops in Rome. There's one specific, really, you know, amazing old, it's been in a few books, the photographs.
Yep.
And the guy there in his little, you know, very, very old fashioned, but
yes, beautiful. Superb. Yeah. And although I did find one in Lisbon that the guy had the biggest self-portrait on the wall, which was quite magnificent.
Yeah, well, there's Figaro's, of course, in Lisbon. I was in Lisbon just between
excellent
Christmas and the New Year. If I ever get any time off, which is very rare, and I say to my wife, we're just going to pop into a couple of barbershops, and it's just like the sort of shadow just crosses her
face. But I love Lisbon. Yeah, really do.
It's my first time there. But my son has just got engaged to a girl who's actually from Lisbon, so I think we might be going back there for
fantastic place,
a wedding. It's a hills. I did struggle with the hills.
Yeah, it is. Whereas that whole thing, if it says on Google Maps it's 12 minutes, it'll take you an hour and a quarter
serious hills. No. But I mean, I love travelling. And you talk about going with your son before he went to college. I'm actually next week in March, early March, going to Pakistan with my son because he's got engaged.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be one of the last opportunities for, you know, dad and stuff.
Boys on the road.
Yeah.
How amazing. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a nice thing to do. No, I loved it. And then, so, Captain Fawcett.
Mm.
I mean, it's a very well-known story that you started it for you, that your background isn't barbering at all, but moustache is a big part of your life.
Yeah, I mean, my history, I mean, I was a bit of a bum. You know, somebody did say to me recently, aren't you a little bit too old to be working quite so hard? And I said, well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't do anything until I was 30. and that's basically the truth. I went to film school I used to work in the fridge in Brixton behind the bar and, I mean, all kinds of pretty crazy formative things. And I started making Super 8 films, you know, in various adult education workshops and things and day release courses in photography, although I wasn't being released from actually anything. So I put together a couple of portfolios of these films. And I got into, three film schools I applied and two of them gave me a place immediately.
Amazing.
With no qualifications whatsoever. So I ended up in I sold out because I got in on the strength of my, inverted commas, creativity, I suppose you could say. But I ended up coming out and working as a technician. But I mean, I did all kinds of movies, everything from, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Chaplin, Memphis Belle, Billy Elliot. I mean, loads and loads of productions of, you know, different kind of quality TV. Poirot, who actually, incidentally, although his moustache is tied, actually uses Captain Fawcett's moustache wax.
That's a great little bit of info.
Yeah.
As worn by Poirot.
Yeah,
that makes me want to buy it even more.
That's true. And so basically, I met the lady who became my wife, and I used to make my own moustache wax for myself. I mean, this is not a recent thing.
Mm.
I've had a beard and moustache 40 years, maybe on and off. I mean, I remember when I split up with my son's mother, she then complaining that she didn't really like my long hair and beard. So I shaved it all off. And this is quite an interesting thing because my son was about three and he lived in Northwest London. And he had a bit of a Northwest London accent. Right. Oh, my dad, all right, like that sort of thing. And he didn't recognize me. So I shaved the beard off because, you know, this is one relationship I didn't want to lose. You know, some you're quite happy and some you don't. It always happens to us all, doesn't it? And I shaved all my beard and moustache off. First of all, Jack didn't recognise me until I spoke. Then he like blinked and looked up at me and said, Dad, where's your beard gone? And I said, well, I've shaved it off. And he went around and he said, well, I want it back. And I want it back tomorrow. with the relationship worked out, we didn't stay together, but we still, became really, really good friends. And it took longer than a day to grow it back, but I did grow it back. Anyway, then I met my wife on a film, actually on a TV show called The Woman in White. And I used to make my own moustache wax and put it in those old, some people remember, little plastic pots.
Yeah.
Those 35mm pots you used to get your film in, the roll film in.
Absolutely.
And I'd make about six, half a baked bean tin, you know, make a six. And they'd get dirty or they'd crack and I'd throw it away. Anyway, one day my wife actually said to me, she specialised in period dramas. And she said, can I take some of your moustache wax to work because the stuff we're using is absolute shite. I said, okay, so I bought 100 empty, this is a true story, I bought 100 empty jars on eBay. I made this label. The label was absolutely crap. I mean, it was diabolical. I mean, it was Amatonite, you know, but the product was good. She went on to get the Emmy for doing Downton Abbey, and now as a result of that, although she's since retired, Captain Fawcett's moustache waxes on every movie set. People like Peter Sword's King, who got the Oscar for Lord of the Rings, yeah. Hobbit, and he uses all my products. And
Awesome.
So the whole thing really came about by fortuitous accident.
But there's got to be something about you that didn't just go and buy a moustache wax from the chemist.
I think I was being tight. No, because I mean, there were some products, and there was a cream. It was called some Hungarian cream, and it just didn't really work. And I just thought I could do something better. So I just experimented. I tried all kinds of things to try and, you know, keep a stiff upper lip regardless, which has become
great
one of our trademarks, you know, and our very, very strong wax. I mean, there's nothing particularly specific about it. I mean, you can find a recipe to how to make moustache wax on the internet. You can find a recipe to do virtually everything on the internet, let's face facts. But there's a very strong wax. When I do use a Carnauba wax there, you know, a wax that they'll use in pill coatings, sweet coatings, or even car polishes. But beyond that, it was just I experimented with gum arabic, everything you could really think of.
And I mean, the original recipe compared to today's production,
it's exactly the same. And that's one thing.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's the one thing about Captain Fawcett. We still make all our beard and moustache products in-house to my original recipes.
That's awesome.
And then what happened, right? So I used to do, in between films, I mean, well, I prefer in some ways the film, but there was less hours. I'd do 90 hours a week. You'd get some breaks on a, you know, a good movie, could be 9 months, you know, something like a Star Wars, you know, a sort of little low-budget British movie would be 6 weeks. So I'd get time off in between. I don't get any time off at all since starting Captain Fawcett. But in between working on films or TV shows, I'd go on the motorcycle trips anywhere, Cambodia, Africa, and sort of, you know, India, all kinds of places. And I met this particularly interesting character. Now, as I said, on a really good year, you know, you're working a lot, but in other years, you're not. So in between, I started working with these guys in their office in Bath, and I helped plan some of these trips. And there was one guy who came along. He was a really, really brilliant photographer. He paid, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 to go on one of these, you know, 2 weeks male adventure things. And the photographs he'd produced were so good that the company said, listen, you can come on all our trips. We can't pay you, but if you can do the photographs. Anyway, so I'm sitting at the desk one. So I've been on this trip, and I met this guy, and he said, oh, I was telling him all about my moustache wax, you know, endeavour. I was popping off to the post office, you know, with half a dozen envelopes and things and stuff. And I told him, and he said, well, I really like your idea. He said, I'll give you a page in my estate agent's guide if you want to do an advert to promote the product. I said, okay. But it wasn't a normal, it wasn't a normal estate agent's guide. It was a guy who rented out estates in Scotland where you could have your Michelin chef come along, where you could go shooting, you could entertain all these people. So I came back, I was really excited. I've told you about my artistic abilities, they're not great, you see. So there's a guy down the pub, and I kept talking to him, and every time this idea came back, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I now realized that the guy had some problems. I didn't really know how to actually extricate myself. Anyway, so I'm sitting at the desk, and I get a phone call from Ian, the photographer that I pre-mentioned. And he said, oh, yeah, I've got these next batch of photographs. I want to send them out to him, blah, blah, you know, sort of stuff. How are you? I said, oh, I'm okay. I just quickly told him the story. He said, oh, it sounds quite interesting. Tell me a little bit more. Told him. 15 minutes later, some print-ready artwork came through that was just absolutely bang on as I saw it. Captain Fawcett walking through the Scottish Highlands, Highlands stopping for an evening and having a wee dram with a pal, and that was the whole thing. Ian is still with the company. We do all our design and everything in-house. He's one of the directors. So there's so many things, so many, you know, twists of fate, luck, phenomenal amount of hard work that have all added to this and have taken my original idea to another level.
But I think it's that kind of that level of kind of real, that authenticity of the product just screams out at you. You know, if you know, the fact that it's 15 years old almost isn't what comes across. It comes across with all this kind of heritage and depth.
Well, I think that's really important. I mean, the next day, of course, then Ian phoned, and his wife was an aromatherapist, and he phoned me up soon after. This is right at the beginning of that kind of beard and moustache kind of, you know, phenomena, which is still with us, you know, in many ways. They keep saying peak beard, but it hasn't really gone away. I mean, I think the real lengths of beards. Anyway, his wife was an aromatherapist, and he phoned me up and he said, I think you should have had a beard oil. So we still make all our own beard oils, and she designed them. Lou Crockart designed them at the very beginning. Then I got nervous. I got nervous because what happened was one of our ladies who was helping me, she was at Brixton, the Ritzy Cinema, and she bumped into Ricky Hall, who was just sort of sitting there. You know, he was a bit of a looker. He still is a bit of a looker. And I think he was working with Murdoch's. I mean, he'd been spotted literally in Oxford Street. Somebody had literally towed and got him and just said, do you want a model? And that was how he was a mechanic. He was a bike mechanic. And we got him to do a little film for us, and we shot down in this beautiful old motorcycle shop called Verrill's down in the South Coast, in a very ancient place. She's worked really well. That was our first ever film, you know, for Captain Forte. And he said, would you like to maybe make me a beard oil? And that was it. So as soon as Ricky got involved, he was like flavour of the month.
Yeah.
So that, again, took us to
another level.
A complete other level. But, I mean, he Shoreditch hipster is an overly used phrase, but we all know what it means, you see. So I thought, well, Ricky, you know, if he shaves his beard off, it's gone, isn't it? The whole thing's it's gone. You know, fashion, it's one of my sayings, fashion is a fickle friend, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, let's do some shaving stuff, just in case. So then we went from shaving stuff, and then from shaving stuff into skincare and, you know, hair products and shampoos, and latterly, of course, with our pomades and tonics and hair powders, we literally have absolutely everything. So we've moved away from what was originally moustache and beard brand.
Yeah. And now your latest product is your powder.
Is the hair powder. And the other thing that we've started working with is fragrances. You know, our fragrances are all unique. You can go to a company now and they will... You know, they'll have a whole list of products they can put the name of your shop on, but it's badge engineering. There's no everything we do is unique to us, and some of our fragrances are spectacular.
Yeah, no, I think I'm wearing your Booze and Baccy.
Cool. Well, the Maharaja won second place niche fragrance global.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'll try a bottle of that next.
You've got a little sample in. You've got a few little bits in there, yeah.
So how involved are you? Are you as involved with every product when you go, we're going to do a powder? Are you just as committed as you were when you were doing your moustache?
I get up
moustache?
Every day at 5 o'clock in the morning. I leave for work at 6:10. I get to work. I open up. I've got a little bit of a gym guy who comes and gives me a hand because I'm, a bit of fuller figure fashion, you see.
Excellent.
But so then that's a losing battle. So we do gym. So that finishes at 8:00. I've got a shower at work and I'm ready to go before everyone comes in. And I leave 6:30. I work. I'm a bit of a...
I am making up for the first half.
And also, I mean, I'm a bit of an addict. I have had drink and drug things going on. It was quite de rigueur within the film industry in the 80s, quite simply. And I don't drink or take anything now, but all my energy is focused on work, and that is my high. That's where I get my dopamine fix.
Yeah. So talking about your building, which I have huge envy of, your emporium.
Yeah.
What do you call
Captain Forte's Gentleman's Emporium, 9,000 square feet of mantiques.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't look like there's an inch that hasn't been loved and filled up.
No, it's really, it's definitely worth a visit. I mean, my oldest razor there dates back to 1650. But again, you see, the thing is, we all draw on everything in our lives. You know, we are a conglomerate of all the things that have happened to us in the past, aren't we? And the older that we get, the more interested and possibly in complicated our lives, because we're drawing on so many different things. And I think my experience in the film industry was hugely helpful, because I was in the sound department. So my job was to hold the microphone, but it's actually quite a thing. You've got to get the microphone as close to the person without throwing any shadows and without them, you know, hitting them. Basically, or being in shot. They always get upset if you get in shot, you know. But the thing is, sound, open microphones, as we're even using here, is far better than a Lavalier or a radio mic, because a Lavalier or radio mic gives the wrong perspective. It's okay if you think something like The Last of the Summer Wine and there's a mountain, you see these little three little men walking, yep, and you can hear them talking perfectly. Well, that's an exception to the rule. Normally you wouldn't. So sound generally should, I mean, we can break rules, but generally reflect the perspective of the shot. So,
right.
But the best sound comes from an open microphone, because otherwise it's too close. You're going to get clothing rustle, all kinds of beard rustle in my case. So that was particularly was my job. And I read the script the night before. We'd all have a script. So we'd know, we'd have the pages that we were going to be doing the next day. We'd have a call sheet, literally a call sheet. And I'd look through it and I'd think, right, we're doing this scene. I'd gen up, because you have to put the microphone in the right place. You'd have to really know. There's all kinds of things you could watch for people preparing to talk. But what I'm trying to get at is that if the actor, he or she, is in character, it doesn't matter if they're not precisely as per the script, because they would say what he or she would say in that given situation. And unless there's a particular nuance that the director requires for later in the film or earlier in the film, because they never shot, you know, consecutively, as it were, then that's good. That's their creative input. So that'd be left. So what I'm trying to say is, by being in character, it's exactly the same. You can draw the parallels with being on brand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So quite often you'd see them, they would come up, you know, the actors or actresses would be picked up, a car would come for them. You'd literally see them at Pinewood Studios, you know, 6:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, falling out of the car. Sometimes in their pajamas. Sometimes they've come directly from nightclubs. These guys are fueled and wrecked, and they're all over the place. And that process of going into makeup, and then a little bit of the costume, then going on to the sets, it's where they block out the scenes, and then going back. By the time they come onto that set, fully to act, as it were, they are completely in character. It's not an affectation. It's a reality, as you say.
Belief.
It's authentic. So it's exactly the same. I've learned a lot from that. Mm. So where I work, it goes beyond being a museum. It's actually, you're in character. You go there and everyone's, you know, we're all actors on the stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's very important to me.
You can see that. It does, you know, the kind of, you know, you breathe that, that world. Of Captain Fawcett's world.
I think it's so important because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm. You know, it's not about the bottom line. Of course you have to have enough money to pay your wages and pay the rent and stuff, but it's about the journey. Mm. Because sometimes, who knows what's going to happen? It may only be the journey. So just do it with your absolute utmost.
But your journey now is right in the heart. I see now you're involved with the Fellowship.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right in the belly of the barbering industry.
Yeah.
Not just a product company, not the owner of an emporium. You're right involved now with the...
I think Simon Shaw and Wall introduced us to interest to the Fellowship, which has been, you know, to be taken seriously and to meet brands and to other and shops and things. It's been crucial. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think... I mean, I drag people kicking and screaming along with me, and some people I may drive completely bonkers, but the energy is infectious.
And when you're working around an industry, as you did, obviously, when, you know, film was a huge, huge, massive part of your life, to move that and keep that energy up and to find something that fuels it in the same way, and so contrasting with barbering. You know, I was watching some pictures come out from the men's event you did with Sid at your place.
Yeah, that was
part of a month or so ago.
That was part of the Project Men, which is which is part of the Fellowship thing. Yeah,
and that looked like, you know, the whole gang, the energy and enthusiasm that seemed to be running from that. That's got to be nice to be around, isn't it?
It is good. And from that, interestingly, and apart from that, and also from the motorcycle tour, where do you go beyond that? So obviously education is crucially important, you know, how to use products and things. So Sid's come in to help with the education and so forth. We're now going to be doing something with Westro up in Leeds.
Yep.
And then beyond that, we're going to now do a European tour where we're going to rock up and we're going to lay out the tools and talk about the products. So that starts in April. I think we're going to Prague, we're going to Romania, and then Serbia. Oh, it's hugely exciting. And if that works well, which I think it will, we'll roll that out in later in the year to Italy and so forth.
But the product is British product. Is it made here and purchased here and all?
Every single product is made in Britain, apart from one slab of toilet soap, which is made in Portugal.
Right.
And that's because they're really good soap manufacturers. I mean, the hardware isn't, so the razors and the wooden bowls and all those kind of things, but all the product is British, yes, indeed. And I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah. And how have you found, you were saying that kind of Brexit, obviously being an exporter, has that made a
huge difference. I mean, my opinion, and lots of people have got different opinions, and let's face it, half the country voted for Brexit, and so there we are. But I think, I mean, just look at all the problems we have, it's far better. You know, if you to be in the club, you can help change the rules, and to be outside of everything is you know, who's going to really listen? And I think all the situations, you know, with the Ukraine and, you know, in the Middle East and so forth, we just need to look after each other and unite and things. Yeah. And, you know, divisions have gone, I think.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels that, you know, being united is a stronger footing.
Because we're all citizens. And if you take the time to get to speak to anybody, and that was the thing, my history prior to, obviously, movies, you'd go anywhere in the world and there'd be, you know, lots of local crew on them. So you'd be really interesting to things to find going on. But again, motorcycling is a huge leveller.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that common interest. Mm. And we all know when you go to barbering events, people from all over the world, it's just their interest in what they're doing. And it doesn't really matter what creed, religion, belief, nationality, it's...
Doesn't matter at
all. It doesn't matter. And we just got to, we need to stop these divides because they're artificial.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Is this a motorbike tour? How are you travelling around these three countries?
Well, I wanted to do it by train. I wanted to do it by train because I thought it'd be really cool because we're going to take Bryony, who does all our films. Well done, Bryony. Absolutely fantastic. And I thought it'd be great to get on the trains and have, you know, Sid getting off and then doing a little bit. But we can't make it work on the train, so we're going to have to fly in and fly out, which is a little bit boring. I do have a motorcycle and sidecar, but nobody seemed very interested in that.
There's something really romantic about a sidecar.
Well, I've got a really old one. I've got a Honda Goldwing 1975. You know, it's not flared with a sidecar. My wife tends, you know, she has her own interest, and she doesn't get involved in my motorcycle. But we did go to a classic bike run about a year and a half ago. And a sidecar is very different to riding a motorcycle. I mean, how you do it, you have to accelerate on a left hand, you have to go around the chair and brake. But anyway, she was okay about it till we ended up in the hedge. We did end up in the hedge.
Oh, sorry, there's something Chaplin-esque about that reason in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, my granddad always had a sidecar, and my grandmother was not a happy, smiley woman. No. And there are many pictures of her looking utterly unamused in a sidecar.
Well, the thing is, I mean, even up to the 50s, you know, a motorcycle was a comparatively cheap form of transport compared to a car. It's kind of switched around the other way. So, I mean, you'd get these sidecars, you know, these big Canterbury sidecars, you know, four or five kids in them, you know, and the whole family would go off to the beach. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. But you're Norfolk based, aren't you?
I am, because I went to film school in Farnham, then ended up living near Reading, and my wife came from Hanwell, you know, West London. And it didn't matter where we lived, because you never, ever, ever work from home. You know, you just go on location somewhere if you needed to look, you know, whatever. So when we decided to buy somewhere to live, you know, it didn't matter. We just wanted a lot of property for not a lot of money, so we scoured the country. So we were economic migrants, literally, and ended up in Norfolk, and I don't even think I went into King's Lynn for the first 3 or 4 years. But that's how that's where the business is now.
Yeah, excellent.
It's only an hour and 45 minutes from London on the train, so you've got
to
come.
Thank you very much for going. I'm definitely coming up. I've seen so many pictures of it. I can't wait to wander around. I will be up.
And the other way we use the motorcycle, of course, is Barber's Ride. So that's something we started 7 years ago, and lots of and it was really great. There's lots of different brands that could possibly be perceived as being competitors. I haven't got time for that. Mm. You know, I'm not competing with anybody at my age, you know what I'm saying? But it is really great. So Barber's Ride to date has raised 150 grand for Make-A-Wish. And it started basically with Xavier Beryl, who was at that point Red Hot, who was the Rosalind Porter, and Colin from Hard Grind. And the three of us put something together. And we've got about 45 people. And
that's amazing.
We're going to Holland and to Germany, and we actually end up and finish at Scorum.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I think I might try and convince us to take this on tour. So I think we could do a bit of Rotterdam at some point.
Mm. There's not just Scoram there. You've got the fantastic New York barber shop, you know, and there's some good.
There's some good stuff out there.
Yeah.
Mm. No, very good. And product wise for the future, I mean, the powder is phenomenal, and just the response that you're getting from that must give
it
you some buzz, doesn't
remarkably
it?
Remarkably considered one of the best. Oh. Yeah, we're very proud of that. And that's the thing for me, you know, where I get my kick is I walk down a street and I see my products in a shop window, and it's that incredible feeling, because it is a huge team effort to actually got there.
Yeah, of course.
And the other important thing is that Captain Fawcett works with different demographics and different age groups. So you're asking about what's a new product. Well, I work with John Petrucci, who's the lead guitarist in a band called Dream Theater. And we're doing a new Eau de Parfum with him. So we work with people, obviously, like Ricky Hall. We've already mentioned Viraj Singh with the Maharaja from the London Jodhpur company, which has started selling into India. So that's a really good thing. We work with Rufus Hound. And do
the Triumphant. Of course. Rufus is, what's his fragrance?
The Triumphant.
Because
he's a biker as well. And we work with Sid Satang, of course, the Barbarism range. Alessandro Manfredini, which is one of those silver fox guys. So it's a fantastic fragrance with him. We're about to launch a beard butter and one of those shampoos, you know, for, you know, blonde and gray hair. And we're about to do that. And a beard butter, as I said, and a moustache wax with him. And so they're the things in the pipeline.
It's still going, mate. So you don't seem to be easing up at all from this original point of that half a baked bean tin.
I've still got the baked bean tin.
You haven't.
I have. Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah, I've still got the baked bean tin.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
You should never, ever forget where you've come from.
Keep your roots, yeah.
Keep your roots. Always you have to be authentic and be true. You know, don't reinvent yourself. Be proud of where you've come from.
Yeah, I think the scars and potholes are much more interesting than the smooth tarmac, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. And I think that's really good about what you're doing, you know, with a show like this, because you're talking to people, interviewing, giving people an opportunity to tell their story, because everybody has an interesting story if only we can take the time to listen.
Yep. Mate, I can't think of any way of finishing better. A joy to meet you properly, finally.
No, no, no.
I will be up in King's Lynn very soon. And thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for watching this episode of The Noble Barber. If you liked it, please do like and subscribe. If you've got comments of what we should be doing in future, please give us your questions and we'll try and find an expert to talk to. Or if you're the expert and you want to come on here and help, stay in touch, we'll get you on. Come and join us on the sofa.